I'm on the road to recovery, step by step.
Welcome, everybody, to the Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group, Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Step Series. My name is John. I'm an alcoholic, and I'd like to bring Spencer up for our joke now.
Hey, Spencer, alcoholic joke teller. And I got a couple of my favorites from Drunk as a Skunk. 150-plus jokes for beer lovers, wine connoisseurs, and raging alcoholics. But before I get into this toilet humor, let me point you towards the restrooms that are right there. So if you need to go at any point in time, they're so conveniently located at the front over here. Perfect. I don't have a drinking addiction. I have a drinking dedication. There's one thing I can't stand when I'm drunk. Up! Drunk is when you feel sophisticated, but you can't pronounce it.
I'd like to introduce Don for Secretary's Report. Come on up, Don. Come on up.
Hey, good evening, guys. I'm Don, I'm a recovered alcoholic secretary. Hey, guys. Now, in keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group should be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are going around now. Takes a lot to keep this meeting running, so we appreciate your support. Now, as the baskets are going around, I've asked Nicole to read the recovery statement. Now, we read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering, and what it means to be recovered alcoholic. Nicole, come on up.
We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Nice.
1940 style big book sponsorship from forward to the second edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried 50%, got sober at once and remained that way. Now 25% sobered up after some relapses. And among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. Now, what we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. Now, the statistics above suggest a 75% success rate, which isn't too shabby. Now, if anyone's looking for a sponsor tonight, please raise your hand. Anyone looking for a sponsor? We have quite a few people in need of sponsors tonight. So those who are willing to sponsor and see the hands raised after the meeting, hang out in the back there by the literature rack, and someone will find you, and the dance of recovery will begin. Now, can all the recovered alcoholics in the house raise their hands? Nice, nice, nice. Now, if your hand was not raised, we suggest you hang out with one of those hands that were. Now, time for some announcements. Intergroup is where you buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating the where and when and scheduling that AA hotline. Now, stop by and visit them. Next slide. Now, BCIC is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get out to AA meetings, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Anyone from BCIC in the house tonight, raise your hand. Two people. Good. Now, if you're interested in getting involved in BCIC, these are the guys that'll get you started. I just did my first BCIC speaking engagement last week, and it was pretty cool. I encourage you guys to do it. We have some service opportunities coming up. Now, we have District 9 has finally found a venue for the big spaghetti dinner. Now, it's going to be at First Christian Church in Fort Lauderdale. The date, we'll figure that later, and we'll let you know. Now, we have an appreciation banquet planning meeting on February 19th at the Intergroup Bookstore. Now, for the next 6 weeks, we have Marion M. speaking. Well, we just finished up with Tom M., who was off the chain. We hope Marion will do the same thing the next 6 weeks. We're looking forward to it. Now, after Marion, we have Paulette. Saturday, the 75th anniversary of the 12-step house, we have a dinner for $25. Now, it's a secret speaker. So if you're interested in knowing who this speaker is, it's got to show up there, man. 8:30 at 12-step house. And like I said, Paulette's after Marion. Monday, we have our big book study group in this very room. If you're interested in learning the big book line by line, I implore you to just come to this meeting every Monday, 7:15. If you can't make it, it's on Zoom. I believe that's it for announcements. Now, in the back, we have CDs, mugs, large print, big books, little red books, and big book dictionaries for sale. Now, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. If you didn't give your loved one or that special someone a gift, I've got mugs for sale, two for $15. You could put the Hershey Kisses in them, and oh, man, good gift. And if you act now, we'll throw in some free bookmarks, man. We're giving these things away, so we could use your support. So we meet every Thursday starting at 7:15. We ask you to be courteous and ready to rock and roll at the Road to Recovery tune. Enjoy the meeting, guys.
That was a really good secretary's report, Don. I want to just thank you for that. And I'm sure those mugs would go over really well on Valentine's Day. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices, cell phones that make noise, that might and will disturb and distract others around us. Take some time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away. And ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
All right. Bingo, you're on, Mike. Boy, that was beautiful. All right, we're going to be doing the Foglight Prayer now. God,
let your light shine through me like a foglight, so those who are lost in dying can find the love of me.
There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we've discovered a common solution. We have a way out which we can absolutely agree upon, which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I've asked Kelly to read the Spiritual Experience, Appendix 2. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one. So it's kind of important to know what one is.
Good evening, I'm a recovered alcoholic named Kelly. Spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yes, it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That pride is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Kelly, thank you very much for coming up here. Where are we at now? Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane meeting remote or just turn them off. I'd like to introduce the speaker. Now, Marianne, her and her husband, Peter, have been mentors of mine since I've met them. You know, and we've worked together at times. We've traveled together over the years. We've hung out with each other. We've done other things, and I've watched Marianne sing and play guitar. And, you know, she's just part of my heart. She's part of my recovery program. And you mean so much to me, Marianne, you and Peter both, you know, because you're forever in my hearts, you know. I'd like to introduce you to somebody that I look up to, and come on up, Marianne.
Mm.
Love you too.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. He looks up to me, 6'12", and I'm 5'1". Kind of dig that. My dad used to say dynamite comes in small packages, so watch out, yeah. My name's Mary, and I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Amen.
My sobriety date is November 11th, 1989, and as of the recent months, my new home group is in Boca Raton, Florida. It's called No Problems, Just Solutions, and we meet on Wednesday nights, and there's two people going through the book once a month, and you know, some of you might be getting calls to come on up. It's just fresh and nice. And and I was thinking about coming tonight, you know, when I was sitting here and thinking about, you know, August would be 13 years since I moved down here. And Alcoholics and God has been a foundational place for me and so many others, countless others, where I heard the good news when I heard that God isn't, you know, put in the corner. Oh, don't talk about God. You scare away the drunk, you know. And the reality is 35 years later, today in my life, I need God more today than I ever did. I came in the doors the day after my 30th birthday. And today I'm 65. Wow. 65.
Beautiful.
You know, I've been sober 4 years longer or 5 years longer than I was when I came in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. But what I can tell you tonight, like I've done this thing a few times here, and every time it probably just, you never know what you're going to get. And the reality is I don't know what I got. I don't. I absolutely don't. I have a kind of a direction of, you know, that God inspires me and tickles me. And, you know, those words we hear, the voice of God that we hear, that we all have the ability deep down inside every man, woman, and child, the fundamental idea of God. And we know right from wrong. We don't always do the right thing, drunk or sober. And really, that's my life today. It's like, where am I in my relationship with God, which is my only defense against that first drink, which is my only defense against being the actor who's trying to direct the show, who's my only defense on overcoming the root of my troubles. The root of my troubles. That's pretty deep. And I don't know if you garden, but I know my friend Susan does. At the root, you got something going on down underneath. The things that are hidden that people can't see. The things that we think we're hiding from ourselves or that we're hiding from others. Selfishness and self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. From it stems all this spiritual sickness. Spiritual sickness, what does that look like? What does that look like going live at 65 years old? With 35 years of recovery. I need that God more today with every single breath I take and every heartbeat. Because guess what? I don't have, it's so old and corny, but it's true. I don't have alcoholism. I have alcoholism. And I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And what does that look like? Am I being the hands and feet of God? Am I living this way of attraction rather than promotion in my home, in my occupation, in all my affairs? And I fall short every day and I make mistakes. I make them, you know, and I can correct my wrongs as I go. Thank God for step 10. And I know this is the beginning, but who knows where this is going, right? But the reality is, what am I doing day in and day out to maintain the spiritual condition? With the spiritual, the malady, this malady that can only be overcome by a relationship with this God. And where am I at with it? You know, if you're here and you have a sober breath and you're sitting in this chair, the miracle's already happened. Because this godforsaken disease that we carry ends with jails, institutions, and death. And how many of us already been to jail? How much of us, some have OD'd and died and came back, you know? Jails, institutions, and death. And but yet I want to take this design for living. I want to take this program of action, and I want to say, oh, they're asking a little much of me. They're asking a little much. Restless, irritable, and discontented are happy, joyous, and free. How free do I want to be? And you will hear me rip off my husband 100 times, and that's okay. Because I'm not, but I am. He says some of my stuff too. So you know what I mean? We're one. And that husband and I, we walk shoulder to shoulder in this program of recovery. And we stay current in our inventory, in our marriage, in ourselves. When I lay my head on the pillow at night, and times when I've had to wake him up and say, you know what, that wasn't very nice when I did that. How can I make that right? Because this girl that Marion, the one that was 30 years old, that came into Alcoholics Anonymous on November 11th, 1989. Here's the deal. November 10th, 1989, I got drunk twice that same day. I went to Denny's. It was such a special 30th birthday. I was at Denny's with my 80s perm and my champagne blonde color. And some of you have heard this a million times, but too bad. It's my story. It don't change. You know, my hair was matted. I'm at Denny's on my 30th birthday. And it's 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm pounding down because it's my birthday. And I go home and I pass out, and I get up again, and I go out to celebrate that birthday that night in a leopard print shirt that I never wore again. It sat in the drawer forever. November 11th, 1989, I met someone I'd never seen before. And that person I'd never seen before was me. And I looked myself in the eye for the first time in my entire life. And our big book describes it as the jumping off place. I could not see my life without a drink. And I could not see my life with a drink. And where am I to go? And I think that that's the place, that gift of desperation that we're given by God in that moment, that I beg God to be sober. Here are the methods we tried. I could write a whole book on. Here's the methods Marion tried to be sober. I had 3 beautiful children at home to take care of them, and I love them with my whole heart, and I wanted to be sober for them. You know, I was in a marriage that was alcohol and drug driven. And with that came, here's the deal, guys, that came from childhood. That came from childhood in my mom and dad's home. I lived in chaos. I lived in chaos my whole entire life until I got sober. And the reality is, you know, here's my bad. Not my bad, but here's my deal. When there's conflict and there's something going on, that's tough for me. I have a real tough time. I have a real tough time not wanting to grab my keys, jump in the car, and get the heck out. Because when things get loud and things get crazy, Marion checks out. I can't even stand business meetings because of that. You know, God bless you. If you're in service, thank God for you. But at a business meeting, when the voices go up, I'm like checking out, you know. I'm checking out. But the reality is, you know, from an experienced grandmother of 9 and 3 adult children and a son that had passed away a year before I got sober and my mom that same year, you know, I came in here, I was beat up and I hated everything about me. I hated me. And you guys picked me up from the floor. You picked me up off the floor and you dusted me off and you told me welcome. And when I said my most wretched stories out loud, you would laugh at them. You would laugh at them because you were the same. It's the same things that happened to you. And finally, in all those years, you know, My home group in Bellingham, Washington was the Northwest group for 20 years. And that hometown was full of hippies. And we were in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most hippies per capita back in the day. And it was Birkenstocks and socks in my hometown. And I mean, God has made me. God has made me my whole entire life a peacekeeper. You know, I believe in the kumbaya and getting the drums out and sitting around the table. I believe in that. And I'll always believe in that. You know, but that wasn't the way things were around me my whole entire life. My brothers and sisters, you know, seven of us, because my mom adopted another, couldn't even take care of the six of us, but she adopted another one. You know, how cool is that? Living life forward, understanding it backwards. We don't have enough, but my mom takes in another one. Because underneath all of that neglect and all those things, those words I can't stand, neglect, abuse, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But the reality is, at 35 years sober, and for many, many years, I wouldn't trade my childhood for nobody's. Nobody's. I wouldn't trade my mom. I wouldn't trade my dad. I wouldn't trade my brothers and sisters. I wouldn't trade anything that I've gone through. Nothing. Because my mom and dad loved us. My dad's way of showing us love. We used to laugh because he would just, you know, pat us on the back and give us a peanut. You know, that was dad's way of showing love. But dad was working, you know. He's a sixth grade dropout. His dad died when he was 6 years old. All he knows is to work hard. You got seven kids, you got to be working. And we would come downstairs after at night, he'd be a laborer during the day, and then he'd go and drive cab, and lunch cost 35 cents, and on the kitchen counter would be seven piles of a quarter and a dime. And that's how Dad showed he loved us. It was a nice hot meal. And you know, my mom taking in that little boy who was living in a foster home who wasn't cared for, she saw that. She tried to send him home. He sat down on the corner and she went and got him and brought him back home, you know? I mean, that's love. It's like all of us as alcoholics. Mom and Dad are alcoholics, but that doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't mean everything in us is bad. You know, I sat over with Mike Chase over at a detox that has been torn down. And we brought this guy to the detox. And didn't we have fun, Mike? It was so much fun. So much fun. Only alcoholics have fun at a detox. In the lobby. But we watched it live. God says, there's no love like one drunk for another. In the grips of the grapes, or whether we're here and we're sitting in that detox, we're waiting for our boy to be able to go in. His dad's with us. We go next door to the 7-Eleven and get this big bag of candy, and there's all these drunks waiting to get into detox, and we're handing out candy to everyone, and this woman's laying on the couch and she's crying. And this other woman's drunk and she's crying. And she comes up to her and just starts hugging her and loving on her. And they're crying together. And we just saw this live demonstration of us, guys. Right? But how that gets to turn, who didn't do that at a bar stool? You know, listen, talking to a bartender. It's kind of like we do it with our barber now, you know. Tell him our 10th step. So we watched it live, right? And I was talking to some folks today about this, and it's like, you know, our book talks about we don't regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it, you know? And the reality is we can make our past sweeter. We can make our past sweeter. You know, my sponsor, when she first takes us on, the first thing she asks, she doesn't say, well, tell me about your life. She says, tell me about your mom and dad. let me get an understanding of how your who your mom and dad were. What were they like? You know? And it's beautiful because the understanding of all of it is like, you know, mom and dad did the best they could. That looked really good. My mom's life and the way she raised us looked really, really good compared to how she was raised. And my dad worked his fingers, you know, he chopped wood and he carried water, man. He had calluses on his hands and calluses on his feet, and he worked hard. And he was providing for his family. And that's good, right? So in the middle of our alcoholism, in the middle of others' alcoholism, we see that there was goodness and that there was light in there, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of those pits, in the midst of those places, that we can just come, like, change our future, or change our past by our current life. If I keep living in the bedevilments, and the bedevilments are on page 52, if I keep living in 100 forms of fear, if I keep living in I'm the actor who's trying to direct the show, if I keep living in selfishness, guess what? None of that stuff changes. I hope that makes sense to you. This is a revelation I've been, like, really, like, it's been a cool thing. Because today I can look back. And today I can see the good. And I can tell you that, you know, what's good isn't necessarily good and what's bad isn't necessarily bad. A lot of times, the way I look at life today, if I get there's a lesson. If something's hurting inside of me, if something's going on when I'm disturbed, what's going on inside of me? Is it my selfishness? Am I being judgmental? Am I an actor trying to direct the show? Am I afraid of something? Where am I? And here's the deal, guys. You know, in How It Works, it talks about many of us suffer from strange emotional and mental disorders, but we can recover if we have the capacity to be honest. And I remember back in the day looking at that, yeah, like, oh, those poor people, you know, those ones with the strange, you know, those poor people. And the reality is today I can stand here at 65 years old with 35 years sober, that I can tell you that I have a strange emotional and mental disorder. I have it. I have a daily reprieve contingent on my spiritual condition. You're going to hear me say that 1,000 times, and that's okay. But the reality is, in and of Marion, in and of the end of Marion, in and of me, I make mistakes. I step on the toes of my fellows and they retaliate. I do all those things, drunk or sober. Drunk or sober. And the reality is I love the effect produced of this relationship with God, because it tells me, it talks to me. And it's like, what voice am I going to listen to? And am I going to listen to the voice of restless, irritable, and discontent? And am I going to listen to the voice of they should be doing this and they should be doing that? We speak of intolerance when perhaps we're intolerant ourselves. Anytime I'm being intolerant, well, they should. Aren't I being intolerant? Just a thought, you know? And that's me. Untreated. That's me not in the place of this grace that only a power of God can overcome. And it doesn't have to be, you know, I guess this is 1, 2, and 3, you know, but, you know, it doesn't have to be the God of somebody else's understanding. It doesn't have to be, you know, it can be a group of drunks. It can be my favorite, Great Outdoors. You know, it's not my favorite. I got a big favorite. But you know what I'm saying? And the reality is that the reality is deep down within all of us. I remember hearing this pastor say one time, he's in a tunnel, and he was from Britain, and he's in a tunnel, and it's one way, and there's a car coming the other direction, and he screams at the top of his lungs, God help me, and somehow got on the other side of that car. Now, I don't know about you, if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, and that little piece that you go, God, I don't know, maybe not, You know, I don't know. But the reality is, when your butt's falling off and your back is against the wall, and there's an instant where there's trouble, and there's trouble now, who's the first one you're calling on? Who's the first one you're calling on? Because for me, that's it. It's automatic. You know, there ain't no anybody else coming. There ain't anybody else coming. So I'm either driven by fear. I'm either driven by my selfishness. I'm either driven by telling you how to live. I'm either speaking of intolerance. I'm either restless, irritable, discontent. I'm either in those places, which guys, I don't know about you, but I got sober and I want to be happy. You know, I want to know what that's like to be happy, joyous, and free. I want to know what it's like to live in a place of peace and all those promises that are throughout our book, through every single step. There's a lot of them. We can enjoy peace of mind. I don't know about you. We'll have a life that's of usefulness. We'll feel like, you know, we belong to part of life at last. Not separated from. Not out there on our own. But a part of life at last. This is what we get to do. How? Why? Because we burn our lives to the freaking ground. And we get to this place where we're so desperate and we're so broken and we hurt in ways that are beyond human aid, our book tells us. Beyond human aid. I can't get anybody sober in this room and I can't get anybody drunk. I don't have that power. Lack of power is my dilemma. With power, no dilemma. God is either everything or he's nothing. And another thing I love to say is that God is either everything or he's nothing, or God is either everywhere or he's nowhere. And I've experienced that as well. I experienced that from a place of spiritual pride, that if at 15 years sober with an abusive husband at home, restraining orders, untreated alcoholism, and I'm a spiritual worship leader at my church, and I'm going up in front of people and inside I'm dying in the bedevilments, you know, having trouble in personal relationships, can't control my emotional nature, prey to misery and depression, can't make a living, a feeling of uselessness, all those things we are with or without a drink. I'm dying. And what was happening for me is I had this form of spiritual pride. And if you only had the God that I had, I would go to my little church and worship, and dip into AA and try to cram my God down your throat. And then, you know, and that's where I was. And inside I'm dying. But guess what happened? When that marriage ended and things were upheaval, guess what happened? The women that were having a little tea party at Marlena's house saved me. They were alcoholic women who got together on a Sunday. There was no tea. It was coffee and it was cigarettes. But so what happened for me in that was a rebirth in my recovery, a rebirth of working the steps, a rebirth of writing inventory and resentments that were killing me. And that I was dying while the other person's living. And, but AA swooped in. AA swooped in. And all the reconciliation with the church and with all that stuff, it's all been healed. And it's all beautiful. And it's beautiful in addition to, but not instead of, not from a spiritual mountaintop looking down. I mean, my God, if I learned anything the first days I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I can look the world in the eye. I'm no better than you and I'm no less than you. Here's my running mates, you guys. We're either in a lot of trouble or we're going to be okay, you know? So super spiritual moment happens. I go to this potluck at Marionette and David's house, and they're having this potluck, and I'm back in the AA groove, man. I'm at the campouts, I'm at the picnics, I'm at the stuff, and I walk into their house, and there's this form of their religion on the mantle, and it wasn't one I believed in. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh my God. And guess what the next thought was, and guess what the next voice was? I'm here from God. I'm here. That's why I love that saying, God is either everywhere or he is nowhere. And I believe that whether it's a message I'm going to get, I don't know where I'm going to get the message at today. I don't know whether it's going to be from a newcomer, my sponsor, a sponsee. I don't know where that message is coming. Our book talks about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to be open. So if I get closed-minded, oh, I'm not going to hear it from this person, or I'm not going to hear it here, or I'm not going to get here, I'm closing my eyes to the sunlight of the Spirit. I'm closing my eyes. But that relationship is yours, and it's personal, and it's what you believe. And they would say things, I mean, you know, make it a doorknob, make it a this, make it a that. And, you know, if that's what floats your boat, go, you know. I want to read here because I love this. I'm getting close to the end. Okay, this is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in the drama of life, God was going to be our director. He's the principal. We're his agents. He's the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone and the foundation of our recovery, coming to believe in this power called God, coming to believe that I have a disease, that I have a disease of the body, mind, and spirit, and the only thing that can overcome it is this relationship that's bigger than me. And if you're here and you're in this chair right now, you're already believing in something bigger than yourself, because you're believing in the group, you're believing in the cookies, you're believing in the coffee, you're believing in the John's chair in the meeting, or Mike Chase's taping back there, whatever that is. So here's what it says, and these are some of my favorite promises here, but when we sincerely took such a step, such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer being all powerful. We go to work for God. Okay, I tell my girls that I sponsor that we've been given a superpower. Okay, so there's firemen running into buildings. There's police officers getting in the middle of stuff. You know, there's doctors, there's nurses. And the only people, what we get to do is burn our life to the ground and we get to help save somebody else. How is that possible? Because we have a new employer. We have a new employer, and that power is called God. We had a new employer. Being all powerful, he provided what we needed. If we kept close to him and performed his work well, I'm going to be an example in the grocery store of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know who's going to be watching. I don't know who's watching my feet. I don't know who's watching me talk. I don't know. And I've had plenty of instances where I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves. It says, our little plans and designs. Don't you think that God, this creator of the universe, the birds, the stars, the moon, the ocean, all of this might have a little bit more of a bigger plan than our little plans and designs, Marion's little plans and designs? More and more, we became interested in seeing, this kills me, what we can contribute to life. I mean, did any of you guys in your drunken days, well, I'm going to go see how I can contribute to life. I wasn't certainly thinking that. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, That right there, if that's all I'm getting and just enjoying peace of mind as a result of that, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. And the reality is, as we get to live kind of this new life, it is being reborn. It is being set new. It is having this foundation for life. It is, you know, have we built it, you know, in our fourth step, in our fourth or fifth step, you know, have we skimped on the cement? Have we mortar without sand? Have we done any of that stuff? And so that's what we're doing in 1, 2, and 3 is we're starting to build this foundation in 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, I'm powerless over alcohol, that my life and that my life had become unmanageable. Have you ever, you know, our book talks about we don't tire as easily. When I'm trying to work things out, like you go here, you go there, you think that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You know, we're tired before we're even out of bed in the morning, you know? So we were now at step 3. And many of us said to our maker as we understood him, and here's the deal. Breaking down the third step prayer looks like this. God, I offer. Our problem is our selfishness, guys. Our problem is our selfishness. What I think, what I feel, me, 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 you know, me, 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 right? God, I offer myself to thee. Build with me and do with me as you will, thou will. Relieve me of the bondage of self. Bondage is a pretty strong word. I might not be munch, my friend Alfred would say. I might not be munch, but I'm all I ever think about, you know. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Because I'm me. Deep down inside, right? Every man, woman, and child, the fundamental idea of God. I'm going to be marrying as long as I'm here on this earth, you know. Build with me and do with me as thou will. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties. I know I'm repeating myself, but I got lost. Forgive me. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Thy will be done. And it's the shortest paragraph or sentence we can say in our life. Just help me, God. Thy will be done, not my will be done. Because reality is that's what bears fruit. That's what attracts other people. Not my will, thy will. So that's all I got, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you, Mary.
Aw.
No.
Love
Thank you. Oof, was that powerful. Boy, did I need to hear that tonight. Let's give Marianne one more round of applause. Boy, this is my second meeting today, and this is the meeting that did it for me, because I needed to remember in my head that God is either everything or he's nothing, and right now he's everything. Thank you, Marianne. Let's see where we're at here, because Mike said stick to the script. Stick to the script. I got to stick to the script. Okay. We have tonight's session and all past speaker podcasted for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. Again, I'd like to invite everybody to our Monday night Big Book study at 7:15. And for those of you who haven't been to a really powerful Big Book study group where we study the Big Book, it's on Monday night at 7:15 up here. And we invite the whole room. If you want to learn more about the Big Book, we break it down page by page. And it's powerful. And we started, I don't know how many weeks ago, but 25 weeks ago. And we're right in the thick of it now. So join us. Those who wish to thank tonight's speaker, please line up down the center aisle. And let's close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Smiles with you, baby. eyes when you laughing. Ba-ba-ba-ba-da when you laughing. Yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you crying, the rain, so stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling, keep on smiling, baby, and I hope.
Yeah. shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
All right, Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the... pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. The fog is lifted, I see the light. Count my blessings when I go to sleep at night. Dream now. Fear has left me and I'm standing tall. A pile of bricks now lies where once there stood a wall that I hid behind. For all this time, sometimes it takes a burning bush or a great white light. Set you right. Well, my eyes don't cry now, I'm about to die. Pity party's over, the guest of honor has arrived, and he's on my side. For the first time in my life, my thumbs are green now, I'm growing vines. Twist and turn each way, flowers blooming all the time, outside my door, like never before. I had to change everything to realize that today is the best day of my life. Is this broken? God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? So go out, work these hands right down to the bone. Got one man that just won't send me.